Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with the membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to close strong here. Help us to focus our minds and hearts upon the issue at hand, being and making godly male friends. Lord, once again, we recognize how rich we are in this area in our church and how blessed we are. As we were just talking about earlier, we are a male-led church in a generation in which that's very, very rare. We have a strong male community. You have knit us together, knit our souls together. We thank you for this. We pray that you continue to grow the depth of our friendships and also the breadth. Bring new brothers in for us to help and who can be helped by us in this way. Give me grace in this time as I expound these things to your men. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as I sat down to develop this final address on godly male friendship, it occurred to me that the value of a thing is not understood if the cost of the thing is not known. And in the general course of this life, this isn't an issue, at least for independent people, because typically we don't own anything that we didn't pay for. And so because we paid the price for said something and we beforehand worked to earn the money to purchase that thing, we value it. And so we treat it with care. But with gifts of grace, it is not so. And godly male friendship is such a gift of grace. And so the value of it is revealed then by the price that was paid by another. So if you want to appreciate that value, you have to consider that other sacrifice, which in this instance is, of course, Christ. But on the path to discovering what our Lord gave in order to give this to us, I first want to start by drawing a very clear distinction between worldly friendship and the Christian kind. And I don't mean worldly in the pejorative sense, as it's often and rightly used. I mean more secular. Okay, that's the way that I'd like you to take it here. And so I'm not putting this down. We have forms of this kind of friendship, and we should recognize that even these are a gift of God's common grace. And as such, a great good, just of course not nearly as great a good as the Christian kind of friendship. But what is worldly friendship? Well, one pastor slash author defines it as an expression of community based upon a, quote, demographic phenomenon, which is built on similar life experience, similar identity, similar cause, similar needs, and similar social position. And I would add to that only opportunity. So who do we happen to be around? Who do we have access to through the course of our lives naturally, positionally, geographically? But aside from maybe that last one, you might sum up worldly or say secular friendships by the common expression, birds of a feather flock together. It's true in romantic relationships as well as it is in friendship. And we have these kinds of friendships too, all of us. Friendships that are based upon shared vocation, hobbies, nationality, proximity. You have these with your next door neighbors because they happen to be your next door neighbors, of course, in the providence of God, but so to speak. And I'm probably not supposed to say this out loud, but ethnicity is also a factor, primarily because people who practice the same cultural mores tend to get along more naturally with each other. Lorraine is a great example of that. The town that I come from is called the International City. There is a number of different cultural centers. Slovaks have theirs, the Poles have theirs, Puerto Ricans, of course, the Blacks, the Macedonians. That helps contribute actually to a rich society. It is a good thing for them to draw together based upon that common ground. But natural considerations of all of these kinds are basically what drew together Sam and Cliff and Carla and Norm and Woody and the rest. It was good for them to be with people who were in a very similar life situation and to be where everybody knew their names. And anybody under 40 here has no idea what I'm talking about, but maybe you can look that up after. Now, the world does have its more odd couple friendships, and you've probably seen some of these. But typically, if you really look into these closely, even in them, there was some natural commonality that drew these individuals together. And that then became the basis for their friendship. However, Christian friendships, which are a subcategory of Christian fellowship, do not work this way at all. In fact, I think that Isaiah 6 through 9 can be used as something of an allegory for Christian friendship and its nature. It says there, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a young boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing baby will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will do no evil nor act corruptly in all my holy mountain. Now, the parallels only go so far in the way that I'm using this. But all of those were natural enemies. And yet all of them dwell together in peace. And for Christian friendships, this is accomplished in that all of those formerly primary identities, comparatively speaking, wolf, goat, lion, bear, ox, even viper and more, they are given one new primary identity that vastly excels all others in priority, and that is that we are all made sheep. And so in terms of natural distinctions, if you have a healthy Christian community, you will see all kinds, but these kinds will still subsist under one primary kind of Christian. In case in point, from the example of Paul and the Christians from Tyre, via a passage that I just preached to those of you from our church. Acts 21, 4 through 6. After looking up the disciples, this meaning in Tyre, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. And when our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home again. And so to remind you who are in my church, Paul had not previously known these individuals. That's why he had to look them up. He did not found this church. He was the cause of it in a way because he, shall we say, facilitated the diaspora of Christians out of Jerusalem, having helped them murder Stephen. And so when everybody left, they settled in different places. And this is one of those places. They did not beforehand know him. He was, according to his past history, their natural enemy, and yet in 1 week's time they become such fast and deep friends that their little babies are accompanying him to the beach to see him off as he leaves them. That is Christian fellowship, of which, again, friendship is a kind. Now, what happened in the Cheers bar was great in many ways, but it wasn't anything compared to that. Now, having given you a refresher on what this is and a bit of an expansion also, let's start to get to what this cost so that we can again appreciate its value. And we're going to begin with the concept of the dividing wall, because that wasn't simply a division between Jew and Gentile that existed prior to Christ crucified, but there was a division of us all into myriad factions. Ephesians 2, 11 through 19. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups one and broke down the dividing wall of the partition by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might create the two into one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having in himself put to death the enmity. And he came and preached the good news of peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So no barrier exists between these two primary groups any longer. The blood of Christ has bound them together. The work of the Spirit is binding them also. But of what authority, upon what authority do I say that the abolition of divisions there that you see extends to all categories besides only Greek and Jew? Well, by the authority of Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, we covered that, but there's also neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if all one, then you can extrapolate that out to all of the other divisions as well, and you can cancel them all out. So per our analogy, there are no wolves, goats, lions, bears, oxen, or vipers. There are just sheep, all of whom know the voice of our shepherd, and that voice calls us to him, and that voice calls us to each other. And thus we are brothers and friend members of one body and one spirit, just as you are also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, as Ephesians 4:4-6 says. Now you know generally, and consistent with what I've already stated, that Christ crucified was the price paid for Christian fellowship broadly and godly male friendship more narrowly. And momentarily, we're going to get more specific with this and really hone in on just one related consideration. But as preparation, I want to bring to your mind your most intimate friendship. And I'm not in your mind, so you're going to have to do this part yourself. Now, if I can be the voice of your wives here for just one second. Brother, when you're thinking about your most intimate friendship, she better be the face that popped into your brain, yeah? Okay, but irrespective of your marital status, whomever this person is that holds the place of most intimate friend in your life, bring him to your mind and hold him there. Now I want you to imagine that somehow mystically any experience of that relationship was taken from you. And I don't mean the memory of it. You still have the memory. But the experience of it in the here and now, all of its warmth, all of its comfort, all of its emotional benefits, they are scrubbed right out of your experience. Now, that is a difficult thing to conceive of, and really it is impossible. But the reason I've directed you to at least take the effort is because our Lord purchased our Christian friendship through an infinitely greater and infinitely more painful experience of exactly that. That is what was bound up in that anguished groan of, my God, why have you forsaken me? And please recall, if you will, the nature of the relationship between Father and Son from eternity past. Again, there was full disclosure between the persons of the Godhead, all three of them. They are the only ones that can fully know and be known as it concerns them. Vis-a-vis John 5 again. And there was an intimacy of a kind that required John to anthropomorphize the Father to the effect of giving him a bosom, and anthropomorphize eternal Son to the effect of giving him a head, so that he may have the Son lay his head in the bosom of the Father, just so that we could grasp something of the closeness of this relationship. And unlike you and your wife, brother, or the Jonathan to your David, this intimacy had never not been. And yet now, for the first time, Jesus reaches for the Father and he cannot feel him. He positionally abided in the breast of Almighty God forever, and then during his time incarnate relied upon the Father's Spirit in his humiliated state, But when he who knew no sin somehow mystically became sin for us in order to reconcile God to man and man to man, it was, as one author put it, that at the cross the Godhead's friendship was ruptured so that ours could be restored. So to what end do I convey the great cost of this kind of friendship / fellowship? To the end that you not commit the grave sin of spurning it. The cost of this thing should lead to a relentless pursuit of it, as well as a cherishing of what we already have. And brother, you're going to need to have this perspective, because in a fallen world, you're going to suffer loss in all aspects of life, including this one. You will experience betrayal. That's a fact. It's just a matter of when and to what degree. You know the saying, there's an app for that. In other words, whatever function you go through in daily life that you might need help with, there's a little application on a device that can aid you in this, help you carry it out. Well, similarly, everything that you will experience in the human condition, all of the maybes of human life, spiritually speaking, and certainly all of the definitelys, has a psalm for that. And so that said, here is Psalm 41, verses 5 through 9. My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? He's quoting them. And when he comes to see me, he speaks worthlessness. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he speaks it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise for my calamity, saying, a vile thing is poured out upon him. That when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Now note, he's in a real hard way because of the opposition that's coming. If this brother ever needed a friend, it's right now. And yet, verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And Jesus, of course, knew this reality well also, didn't he? And he called his greatest betrayer friend in Gethsemane. And there are those who would say that he called Judas that in that setting. Ironically, I am not among them. I think that was a statement of absolute sincerity. Friend, what you do, do quickly. So we are all going to have to walk away from godly male friendships that have ceased to be godly, or have at least been revealed to have never been godly in the first place. But you can't walk away from the institution. The gift cost too much. If it took you 50 tries at a godly male friend and all 50 ended in hurt and pain, you'd still need to press on to the next effort. Now, of course, I'm speaking in hyperbolic terms, because if you've really tried 50 times and failed 50 times, you've missed some steps, and I'd refer you back to the first two lessons here. But the sentiment is true nonetheless. And I speak from experience on this one, both in the positive and in the negative. As most of you know, I had a lot more friends before I became a pastor. But because God and his grace kept me from cynicism and bitterness, I also gained a lot of lifelong friendships in the pastorate that are deeply grounded in Christ. And I know you know this too, because you who occupy this place in my life are sitting right here and listening to me now. And I'd name you, but it's effectively all of you, except my three young men over here, which hopefully will grow into that as time goes on. And my boy, of course, is in a different category altogether. I will also, though, say that when you have these betrayals, brother, as hard as it is, and I'll sympathize with you and empathize with you about the pain, but count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That relationship, as all relationships do, requires a tremendous investment of time from you, and better you not continue to waste that time on somebody who does not care about Christ and does not care about you. Again, you got too much to build in this life to be wasting time on that. Let the chaff blow away. With these things said, I have only one more point to make to you all, and it concerns your friendship with God. And I want to say first that we do indeed have a friend in God as genuine Christians. But you need to be careful about the way that you speak of this. You need to speak of it in a reverential way. And you need to let Scripture be your guide in this. All right, Abraham was called a friend of God. The disciples of God incarnate were called friends of God. You know how many people in Scripture are ever called God their friend, though? Zero. Never went the other way. And it's not because it wasn't true or you couldn't speak in those terms. It's because they would not refer to the Lord God in a way they considered to be flippant, in a manner consistent with the way they referred to their buddies, because it is horribly disrespectful. And so if you still have one of those terrible t-shirts from the 2010s or the early 2000s, say, Jesus is my homeboy, and it's in your closet or in your dresser, please go home and burn that, because that's what should happen with that. But that said, does the great old hymn resonate with you that we just sang and I had you sing on purpose? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Do you know that friendship? Young men, pay attention. We have repeatedly acknowledged spheres of human friendship or levels. And we have used the life of Jesus to demonstrate this, because during his earthly ministry, he clearly recognized categories, and in his humanity, he poured more into certain men than he did others. And then there was the broadest category of friend to sinners. Do you know, though, that really, there's only one kind of covenant friend that Jesus has now, as he ever lives to make intercession for us, as he has ascended? Do you understand that we have all been brought into his bosom and brought into the bosom of God by him? He loves all of us the same, and he cannot but love all of us the same, because the love of God is rooted and based in the nature of God, and the nature of God is what? It is perfect. So can God have an inferior kind of love? No, because he cannot have an inferior kind of experience of love, because he is perfect, and in all his ways perfect. And so to be loved by the Lord Jesus from the one to the next is to be loved the same. If you have been made a friend of Jesus, there is no greater friend to Jesus than you. We are all the same. We are all loved with the same love. It is perfect love. We have been granted that by Christ. And if you do not know Christ, you must come to him today, because everything else is window dressing if you have not dealt with this. You can have better friendships, but if you're not reconciled to God, then ultimately, even if you are able to practice these things in a way that doesn't pull you apart from other people, still you are apart from God. Still you are under judgment. And the problem with a lot of Christian gatherings like this and the people who speak at them is that there is an assumption that all the people who attend them belong to the Lord already. That is a false assumption in many instances. So reconciliation with man to man is what we have focused on. It is not possible without reconciliation of man to God. Become a friend to God. And this occurs through faith, which is believing, which is trusting. And what you're trusting in is the perfect life, finished work, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it comes by way also of repentance, which is a turning away from sin, but really more fundamentally, a change of mind about sin that leads to that turning away. It is to truly love Jesus and therefore come to hate the things that he hates, the things that you used to love. These are the terms of friendship with God. And if these terms are not met by a gift of God's grace, then you remain enemies of God. And whatever friendship you make in this life will not matter in light of that. So turn to Christ and live. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time as men to come together. Pray, Lord, that these things were well received. We pray that if there are any here who do not know you, that they'd come to know you even this weekend, that Peniel would be the place where they met God. I pray for these men moving forward, Lord. Protect them from the evil one. Help them to forgive each other when sin comes, and it certainly will. Help them to love each other and do so well. Continue to grow us as brothers, as friends. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with a membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.